reconvene. We're at item 6D, General Services Airports, future of Happy Camp Airport. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy Hall, Director of General Services. I am here before you today to discuss the Happy Camp Airport or in the history of the Happy Camp Airport, and I'm seeking direction on the next steps that we want to move with them. A little history on Happy Camp Airport. We are currently in our fourth special use permit. It's set to expire in 2028. We started our very first one in 1951. Throughout the years, Happy Camp has accepted funds from the state for maintenance and through the FAA. In 2003 and 2006, we did some crack and slurry sealing with FAA grant funding. In 2017, the General Services brought before the board a presentation on the status of Happy Camp. At the time, the users were the United States Forest Service. We had one private hangar and medevac. The airport had not received any FAA grant funds for several years before that and had stopped receiving state funds. And the estimated cost to remove encroaching trees and do the pavement there was over $400,000 at that time in 2017. It was the consensus of the board to start the process to cease operations at Happy Camp, and after further engaging with the FAA, to bring back a development of options with regards to a possible waiver of the funds that were owed. In the latter part of 2017, a letter was sent to the FAA requesting to disengage from operations at the airport, and it asked, due to the lack of funding for properly maintain, we lost our entitlement funds, and we have limited revenue generation, and we are seeking to have a waiver of our funds through the FAA. In 2019, the FAA came back and responded to that 2017 letter. In that letter, they explained to us about public interest, the National Plan of Integrated Airport System classifications, the need for the consent to close from the FAA, and being released from our federal obligations. I stated then that if the county wished to proceed, we'd need to submit some further documentation, which we did. In 2020, letters and emails went back and forth from the FAA and General Services about closing the airport. The United States Forest Service, with whom we have that special use permit, sent a letter stating that they were in agreement to have the airport closed with the understanding that it would not impact their helibase operations. In 21, the FAA determined that the airport could be removed from the national plan, and it was officially removed in March of 22. And it stated that the special use permit between the county and the Forest Service was just that, between the county and the Forest Service and between those two entities. We put yellow X's on both ends of the runway, and a notam was flown that we were permanently closed. In 2023, the Deputy Director of General Services reached out to the state to inquire about waiving those funds, and the state asked us to send a letter requesting that waiver and our justification. Our current use permit expires December 31st of 28. The permit encompasses around 20 acres and includes the runway, taxiway, parking, a couple hangars, some tie-downs, some other things in their caretaker's residence, public restrooms. Of note, the U.S. Forest Service has pretty much non-exclusive use and public access to that airport. They can use it for anything. They have the right to use all or part of our permitted area, including landings and takeoffs at no charge. So prior to termination of that permit, the holder shall prepare for approval by an authorized officer of the United States Forest Service an abandonment plan for the permitted area. The county has already removed two of the hangars there. And so I'm here for some ideas. Here's some ideas that we were reach out to the United States Forest Service to start the talks with for an abandonment plan, possibly hire a consultant to do the abandonment plan. We'd have to find some money to hire that consultant, and then send a letter requesting for the waiver of funds. But I'm here today to seek your guys' guidance on what you would like to see happen there.
Supervisor Howe.
The only thing I'd ask in this is that prior to completion of this, we understand the full magnitude of the economic impact to the county, and that being the federal acquisition regulation that requires us to possibly return it to National Forest character. Which we don't have an answer back, I guess, from the Forest Service yet. I know when we looked at this decision years ago, that was not part of the discussion we had. But I do know it's a FAR regulation, especially these permits. Whether or not they enforce it is at the discretion of the agency through the Office of General Counsel in Vallejo. But I've sat down with Dana Barton, who is working with you, I guess, and gave her some contacts and asked her to reach out to them and see which way they might go. I know the county's been talking back and forth with the Forest Service here on the Klamath, but they don't have the legal authority to waive that. That would have to come from the regional forest or through the Office of General Counsel. So I'm waiting on that. I know Mara is engaged with this somehow. She had some medical emergency with her husband or something recently, so I don't have the most recent conversations and the questions that we asked her a couple weeks ago.
Lisa Mara?
Yeah. It can proceed with what the board's decision was, pending whatever that cost is to the county and whether or not that might change our decision in the future. I don't know that it will.
Anyone else? So I think one of the things that we were told, besides the waiver of the funds or payback for the FAA grant, was there was a potential to use that towards a credit to other airport infrastructure, if I remember correctly.
Something along those lines.
So if we owed $500,000, if we put $500,000 into one of the other airports, not unlike what we're doing at Weed Airport, that would be the offset to the waiver.
In all my research, I've been researching this for the last couple of weeks, I have not found anything that says that on there.
You'll have to go to board minutes or recording and find it there, and I don't know how you'll do it in our search engine. But
I did find the 2017 minutes. So
okay, well, it had been,
but
yeah, go ahead.
But maybe then let's put that on the table. Yeah. Let's make that the ask.
Yeah, I mean, waiver would be perfect altogether.
So I think we might be getting confused. Okay. FAA, they have not said anything after their letter to us stating that we could close the airport. They have not asked for any of the funds back.
Okay.
It is the state that we're asking to waive the funds
okay.
for.
Well, okay,
so
that's different.
The state they're not cool. Yeah.
So then that's the ask that we need to put out there.
Right.
Yes.
Agreed. And I'm going to say it. We need to make sure that we have something in writing from the FAA that they're not going to throw a bill at us at the other side.
Yes. I'll reach out to them.
Yeah.
Sure.
And I think the other part of it is you need to clarify, you know, how we're going to leave it. If it was an airport when we took it on, if we have to reclaim it and make it something else, that's going to be different altogether. Anyway, Supervisor Ogle.
Which leads to my question of, is there any maintenance that we have to provide for the Forest Service to utilize that as we're departing? Because if they're going to use it, is there any liability to us if the taxiway or anything else is not maintained while we still own it?
That is a good question. That's what would be part of the abandonment plan, I believe. Yeah. There, right now, as far as us doing maintenance, we do go out there kind of cut the weeds down and stuff, but we're not maintaining the runway at all. It's closed. Mm-hmm. It's we have the yellow X's on it. It's completely closed. They do have their helipad there. That is their own helipad, not part. It's not on our 20 acres.
Okay,
it encompasses 20 acres.
That's not our responsibility.
Yep.
Okay. Well, do I dare ask? What if somebody goes out there? What if somebody steps off across and something happens? Are we still covered? Are we still okay with that?
I mean, like, as far as, like, insurance-wise,
mm-hmm.
things like that. As far as I know, yes.
Okay.
I don't see why we wouldn't be.
Yeah.
But we can double-check.
Okay.
As far as I know, we still are fully covered there.
Okay.
Mr. Howe.
Yeah, I just want to say for the record, you know, I really struggled with the closure of this. You know, it's one more blow to Happy Camp, but I, for the life of me, I can't figure out how to financially make this airport work. For the public, there was a small ad hoc group that got together down there a few years ago, and they have the issue with taking the trees out. They had that solved as a public group. But could only come up with one plane, really, that comes in and out of that one private plane. And couldn't come to grips with even securing any kind of funding to take the airport over. Reached out to the tribe, and the tribe was not interested either. So I hate to do this, but I kind of rubber meets the road economically. There's no way to feasibly.
Well, and I think one of the things that we found through this was that a heli pad is more efficient down there than the plane itself, because there's many times what we had understood in past presentations was bad weather wouldn't allow a plane to land anyway, where a helicopter for emergency airlift would be a better plan. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that's kind of what at least gave us the opportunity to look at closure, but also to keep something in place for citizens.
I know the Forest Service does land their fixed wing there. I don't think they do now, but historically they did when they were up doing the fire patrol, and inclement weather would set in quickly. They'd set in down there and wait for the storm to blow over. Other than that, the question I had, though, with helicopters, because during fire emergencies, more helicopters end up there than what can be accommodated on the Forest Service pad. In the future, are they going to use our portion, and can we charge for that if they do?
So we did just receive a, which we have to review, a contract for the U.S. Forest Service for their helicopters. They have not listed Happy Camp as being an emergency one on this new one. So it would only be our other four airports.
Okay. Well, you might get an emergency agreement from a team that comes in.
Yeah.
That is my suspicion.
Okay. There's no action. This is discussion only.
Just
correct.
Discussion.
Okay. So we'll move on to item 6E, airports. All but half
again. Again, good morning. Joy Hall, Director of General Services. I'm bringing before you today my updates on our airports. There's no new updates on Butte Valley or Scott Valley, when, of course, we just talked about Happy Camp. However, we do have a couple of updates on Siskiyou and Meade. On Siskiyou, last time that we had our meeting, we talked about letters of support. We found out that through our AOP and our consultants that the AOP needs to be finished first, and then the letters of support come. So we have our consultant finishing up the finalizing on the words of those support letters. And we will be contacting all those entities that have already said that they will support us, and also all the recommended ones. So we're reaching out to them. Bit of good news, we do have that Beer Tower that's been working to our advantage. We are almost 50% increase in landings out there that we're tracking over our other system that we had out there. So it's good news for our AOP, and it's also making us some money out there for the landing fees and stuff. Since the last update, we have continued to work with Congressman LaMalfa's office. Although they don't have an answer as to how we can keep the length of that runway, they are committed to helping us find a solution, so that we are still in contact with them talking about that. And they are looking into some more regulations and additional funding that we might be able to have with that. On to the weed. A few meetings ago, it was asked if an FBO can run an airport, and we had a meeting with the FAA yesterday to discuss this possibility, and also to discuss the AWOS system. During the discussion, FAA stated that the weed airport is a federally funded airport, and the county must retain authority over how it is run. This is also holds true if we want to continue to get the FAA funding. The FAA will be sending a brochure that outlines all of our obligations with that airport and for grants and assurances. And if the board if the board, if that's the will of the board, is to have an FBO run it, it does need to go out to bid, is what the FAA is telling us. And the FBO would still not be able to run any construction projects on the airport. However, if you're doing a maintenance contract with an FBO, as long as the county still remains the owner, but there are no funds available through the FAA to pay for maintenance on the contract, so the funds would have to come directly from any profits that we made out there at the airport. Yesterday, we also talked about the AWOS system. The current language in our AOP will have to be changed. They told us it can be done with a pen and ink, so our consultants are on it right now. The sooner the better. We're going to get it done right away so that we're in there. We can use our bill and our AIP monies to purchase the AWOS system or apply for other grants through the FAA. And if we get all of this stuff done right away, we can apply when they put the grants out, we can apply and be one of the first ones to apply should we choose to go that way. However, the FAA is no longer maintaining AWOSs, so it would be about a $10,000 amount a year for us to maintain them. So that's just what the things that I found about AWOS and Weedon Siskiyou Airport.
So I did get a call with regard to the new tracking system out at Siskiyou and what's different. And I said software is what's different. And because I said over the years, we've been just kind of random, I'll just say randomly counting or who's been out there and what. But now it's more precise.
Yes.
And so I think, I wouldn't go so far to say there's an increase. I would just say that we're now capturing what's actually happening
out
there.
Yes, yeah. I guess we should say yes, capturing 50% more than what we did before.
Yeah, there you go, there you go. On the AWOS system, I don't know. I don't know that we have a choice. I think it's been far too long that we haven't had it. Even if it's a 10 grand a year to maintain it, I think that we just have to bite the bullet and figure it out. I don't want that to get in the way of not having it.
Yes.
Because it's too vital for public safety and airlift, especially for South County in particular, because they have to go clear to the Siskiyou Airport for any emergency airlift if weather is bad. And some of the instances, all of the instances that have had to go out there have been life-threatening. I think we had one loss that because of that, but I think there's been at least three incidences over the years that have, required going to Siskiyou. So with regard to the grant that you said, should we choose to do that, what does that mean?
So the bill and the AIP are entitlement amendment monies that we get. There's also grants out there. So basically what the FAA was saying is if we get all of our pen and ink done and we're ready to go, when they open up those grants, we could be the first ones to apply for it.
But that wouldn't delay the factor of getting one installed, is that correct?
No.
Okay. As long as it wouldn't do that, yeah, no. I get it.
And we do have some entitlement funds that we could start the process,
okay.
But I wanted to let you guys know what's happening with it first.
Other questions from the board? Anyone?
Could grant funding help pay for that $10,000 a year to maintain?
Yeah, I don't believe so.
There might be, I'll just throw out Office of Emergency Services. Is there anything there that might come that way? I don't know. I know the state, what do we get from the state now for airports? 10 grand a year for each one?
Yeah, and we use that all for maintenance.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But with the, we aren't tracking Weed Airport yet, are we? With regard to the new software?
No, not yet.
We will be.
Yes.
And maybe that's a factor to increase revenue, so. And on Siskiyou Airport, we're looking at reconstruction of some kind for the bathroom facility. Is that correct?
Yeah, we're going to start looking into how we can.
Because as we capture these these new landings, I think the expectation will be that we have to have some facilities there to, besides the runway.
Yeah.
And the brush.
Yeah.
to accommodate those that are landing there. So great. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
You all right there, Ms. Wendy?
Yep.
We're going to recess as the Board of Supervisors and convene as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District. This is the time for public comment. Anything online, Anna?
Sure.
Anyone in-house? Seeing none. Minute approval for February 6th.
I've received no corrections for those.
Looking for action on that. Have a motion.
Second.
And a second.
All righty. Director Haupt.
Aye.
Director Valenzuela.
Yeah.
Director Chris.
Aye.
Director Ogren.
Aye.
And Director Kupcik.
Aye. We'll adjourn as the Siskiyou County Flood Control and Water Conservation District and reconvene as the Siskiyou County Board of Supervisors. Item 8A.
Okay.
County Clerk.
Got some appointments here. 8A is appointment of three members to scheduled vacancies on the local child care planning council. The one would be discretionary appointee, one consumer, and one community representative, all with terms ending February 28th, 2026. At the time the agenda worksheet was prepared, we had received letters of interest from incumbents Carla Chiraga. She would be a community rep, and Rania Merrill, a consumer. If we could make those appointments and then continue the remaining one.
So we
for both.
Okay. Both. Thank you.
Second.
All righty. Supervisor Haupt?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
Excuse me, and Supervisor Kupcik?
Aye. Ms. Wendy, just an ask or maybe a suggestion.
Uh-huh.
As we struggle with these appointments over the years because a lot of times, when we don't get in, I'll call it an incumbent that wants to serve again.
Uh-huh.
Is it possible to get, I don't want to call it an application, but something that outlines the person's qualifications? Because a lot of times it's just, I'm interested. And it would help at least this board member. I don't know about anybody else.
I totally agree.
But more information about their qualification for an appointment would be real helpful.
So in their particular letters of interest?
Yeah. Or if we had a template that we could send out.
A short one, just something about how long you live. Remember we made an appointment and we had to be sending us,
Yeah.
Right. I know
That's a good one. Just
there are particular boards that require, like our assessment appeals board.
Right.
There are only certain people that qualify for that.
Right.
But like LPC, it's part of the group is appointed by the Board of Education and the other is the Board of Supervisors. Mm-hmm. So LPC might have a little bit more say in who's who qualified, and they usually let me know.
True.
You know, that somebody fits the bill.
But there's times where we, we're stumped. We're just like, who is this and why?
Okay.
So think about it. It doesn't have to occur immediately, but it would be nice.
Maybe it's something we can work into the press release and see if we can get a little bit more.
Yeah, and if you just had a template that just kind of outlined three or four points with, their qualifications or why they're interested in our supervisor.
Sure. How many years it'll be in the health board years ago? I think there's some confidentiality of the new.
Yes, that's one board that we.
I like your idea.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to.
We rely on them to tell us who fits the categories. It's not up to our office to determine a consumer versus a, somebody with a family member.
Right.
Understood. That type thing. So.
You get the drift.
I do.
Okay. 8B.
So 8B, then we have Siskiyou County Behavioral Health Services Board. We do have a letter of interest as well as. Something from the BHS board's supporting, and it would be for a Justin Hadler, and his experience as a psychiatric physician assistant. And that is the only one. If we could continue the others,
okay.
I'd appreciate it.
Continue the others, and looking for board actions on the one.
Move to approve.
I have a motion.
Second.
Second. Pick your choice.
Okay, and that was for Mr. Justin. All righty. Supervisor Haupt.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kupcik?
Aye. 8C, County Clerk, Far Northern Coordinating Council.
Okay, Far Northern, yes, this was one that we continued a ways back. The gal that was appointed earlier had served her term and was not interested. This would be for a scheduled vacancy for a 2-year term ending February 3rd, 2026. And I did receive information from Far Northern that they have a, find her name here, I think it's Patricia McCarthy is interested and would fit in that category to fit that position.
Okay. There's no questions. I'm looking for action.
Move to approve.
I have a motion.
And that was to appoint Ms. McCarthy. Thank you.
I'll send it.
Second.
Thank you. Alrighty, Supervisor Hope.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Okay.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Copsick.
Aye. Item 8D, County Clerk. Siskiyou Resource Conservation District.
Yes, this is one that we continued from, I believe, our last meeting in February. We have a gentleman that's interested in serving the one position, the unscheduled vacancy on the Siskiyou Resource Conservation District. This would be for a term ending November 26th of 26. And I did repost it at some point. The gentleman that was interested was a Peter Garaventa. I did forward his email to Siskiyou RCD, and they did, in fact, they've had him at the meetings, so they have talked with him.
Okay.
And I think I forwarded this email to you from their secretary or their district bookkeeper with their comments. It sounds like some are in support, some did not comment. So it's up to the BOS.
I have a motion.
To appoint Peter.
Okay.
Thank you.
Second.
Second.
All righty. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yep.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Copsick.
Aye. Item 9A, minute approval for February 6th.
And I've received no corrections for those. I would say I did make a, see a couple of typos that I corrected, but nothing.
Move to approve.
Major. Find it here. And who was the second? Thank you. All right. Supervisor Help.
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Mm.
Supervisor Chris.
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren.
Aye.
And Supervisor Copsick.
Aye. Anyone from Ag on 5A?
I was Angela Davis, County Administrator. I was just reviewing emails to see if he has responded. I am not sure if anybody online might be Mr. Jim Smith?
No.
It doesn't appear to be, so.
So we'll hold it over and see what we get on the other side of close?
Close.
Okay.
Okay.
So with that, let's go to, well, we have a crowd. Let's go to board and staff reports. Anything? Board reports. Anyone?
Sure. I was just down in Sacramento for the Sierra Nevada Conservancy. I want to thank Supervisor Chris as the alternate for CSAC to step in, and I'm sure he did a great job. I saw the morning crowd there, if you will. At the Sierra Nevada Conservancy Board, we did approve a project for South Fork as part of the bigger South Fork project that the Forest Service is doing, allocated $3.6 million, I believe. Just so you know, for the short time that the Sierra, 50 counties has been in the Sierra Nevada Conservancy, we're pushing upwards of $10 million into the county for projects, on-the-ground projects. So I want to thank Julie Potts specifically, who's done a great job on that front. And as you can imagine, there was a lot of concern from local constituents. A lot of the names that you would recognize, I realize that they're passionate, but it was a unanimous vote to approve the project.
Okay. Anyone else? Supervisor?
Yeah, I'll be able to do it. Yeah.
Go ahead.
All right. Attended the Butte Valley Cattlemen's social, Coffee with a Cop, held there in Butte Valley, Sierra Sacramento Valley EMS. Got an update there, I sent that to Ms. Lawson, but the fees will be the same as they were last year for this next fiscal year. But they are considering increasing those fees for future years just to keep up with costs. And in comparison, SSD is still quite a bit lower than other areas. Volcanic Legacy Scenic Byway board meeting, and like I said, the plan's in place to go out and get businesses and organizations on board to be membership of that to promote it in the East County. CSAC attended there as alternate for the for the meeting there in Sacramento. Updated them on Stewart County issues and then took feedback. Then I met with the California Department of Agriculture to talk about the grasshoppers there in that we're dealing with in the county. They'll be aware of it. I'd like to thank Ag Commissioner James Smith for giving me a great deal of information to use. The positive news is that they'll most likely support the declaration of emergency. The California Department of Ag will support that from the USDA. That's where I'm at.
Okay. Supervisor Howe?
Participated in a couple of congressional calls with Congressman Lamalfo on airport coordination and staffing and funding opportunities for our airports. I attended the Sheriff's Posse fundraiser. I was in Happy Camp on the 29th and met with the Happy, I always get this wrong, I want to call them Happy Little Campers.
Careful.
It's a Happy Campers program, and they're little campers. Anyway, it was an effort started after the Slater fire for child care for contractors coming into the area and for local folks to be able to provide daycare for individuals right now down there. And they're struggling right now with funding into the future. See how that goes. They were looking for suggestions for funding, and I pointed in the direction of a number of grant processes that they probably would qualify, and they may look at pursuing some kind of taxing authority down there, because job care is one of the biggest things that prevents employment opportunities for single moms, basically, in Happy Camp. Later that day, I met with some Slater Fire victims, and I'm happy to see the progress they've made on homes down there, and thank you to the building department for getting through that process fairly quickly. I'll say that the bulk of the flat that was destroyed just out of Happy Camp down in Gideon, I don't remember the name of the housing area right there, below the Catholic Church, that was nearly leveled. There are probably 20 homes right there, and all but two lots currently have manufactured homes on them. So they've rebuilt that nicely and on up. The creek, there's at least 7 or 8 new homes that have been built up there. So they're recovering. It's a struggle, but I'm happy to see that going on down there at Happy Camp. I met again with the board of directors for the Greenhorn Grange, and Brian Shoshone is continuing his work with them on a possible evacuation center development there and grant opportunities for them to get up and running. They've been offline for 10 years, something like that, lost their charter, and they're just rebuilding. It's a pretty important thing. That's all I've got.
Back on the 27th, we had an LTC meeting, and then we had a C2C meeting that night, and then participated in a broadband meeting on the 29th, and that had representatives from Golden State Connect Authority, ORCAL, AT&T, and also Siskiyou Telephone. And I may have missed somebody. Elizabeth and I were both there. And Allie was there. And we had a really great conversation for over an hour that I think really moved us all forward, opened up a lot of conversation and a lot of collaboration, I think, between all the different agencies. So I think that was really beneficial to all of us in the county. After that, Sheriff's Posse dinner, After that, there was Election Day. Congratulations, Supervisor Valenzuela.
The most votes I've ever gotten.
How many opponents?
Oh, yeah, tough one. Barbara's going to write it.
Yeah.
Yeah. After that, there was an advisory board meeting for the COC. After that, I spent the day again with Allie and Elizabeth for a KDD refuge tour on the east side of the county. Then there was the Grenada Athletic Dinner on Saturday night, and that brought me to today. That's enough. Thank you.
Okay. February, the week of the 19th, so the 21st and 22nd, I attended the Family Farm Alliance conference. Supervisor Valenzuela was there as well as Ms. Nielsen. Participated in the LTC meeting, participated as a board member in the Golden State Natural Resources board meeting that we had in Reading on the 28th. I think so far I'm batting pretty well for agenda review each week, so just so you all know that. Attended the Posse dinner on the 2nd of March. Had a meeting with some of our county fish and game commissioners and Cal Fish and Wildlife on the deer plan that the county has and the issue of the tag fee that's supposed to be being changed, and getting an update on that. Attended the City of Weeds staff meeting. Attended as their guest speaker, the Siskiyou Patriots in South County on the 6th. Yesterday, Klamath Irrigation District put on an ESA symposium in Klamath Falls. I think Ms. Nielsen was online. I drove up and attended that meeting. That was real interesting. I wasn't there for the whole day. I had to leave at 12:30, so I didn't get into the question and answer part of it. But one of the remarks that his name is Lucas Kootski had made with regard to ESA, and we need to check this out. And I don't know if you heard this, Ms. Nielsen, or not, but he indicated that ESA does not indicate a prohibition of kill of species. It is illegal only if it's purposeful. And I thought that was an interesting statement because I've never heard that before. So we need to check that out. If it's an accident, it seems like it's no harm, but yet we've always heard that any kind of a take is harmful, let alone some of the taking that's been happening recently on the climate. And with that,
if I could just follow up on the
sure.
Family Farm Alliance,
yeah.
And I forgot that I was in attendance with that. And what's relevant, same thing with Sierra Nevada Conservancy, I took the opportunity to one at the Family Farm Alliance speak to the luncheon speaker who gave the presentation, and the board chair for KRRC regarding my perspective. And also when I was down, I spoke to Wade Crowfoot at the SNC before the meeting, and Klamath Dams, again, related, and I had a specific ask that I brought to both of them. Again, I think it's relevant that what's going on with Klamath Dams, knowing that people don't see what goes on behind the scenes, but we are constantly working on that front.
Yeah. And so, myself and Ms. Nielsen also were able to talk with
Johnson.
Yeah, that's the president.
He was very receptive to what I had to say.
Yeah, he was very open in the dialogue. We had a fairly frank discussion in the after hours of the conference, so it was productive.
Supervisor,
yes,
so
go ahead.
I know you're going to have Elizabeth check this out, but that is true if you're given an incidental take for that.
Yeah, okay. It'll be interesting because that caught me completely off guard because I was just like, holy cow. here we've been jumping through all these hoops. But if that's, you know, that would make more sense.
Yeah,
it'll be interesting because their take, the whole thing, the conference was about recovery in ESA, and it's supposed to be a recovery type regulation, not what it's become. Yeah, it was. And then tomorrow I'll be attending RCRC meeting in Sacramento, and then the Environmental Services Joint Powers Authority will be having the meeting here in this boardroom, for at least my participation, for those that will be in Sacramento. And with that, the only thing I would also remind our board members, Forum 700 are due. If you haven't done that, I'm still looking forward to the day when I can go to one site and do them all instead of the three and four that I have to go to now, and it's just, and they disappear. I do one, and the rest of them go away. So I figured, well, if online can take them away, I'm good.
I got one more.
Yeah,
thing. One more thing. One of the things that drives me nuts is with the Fish and Game processing and permitting actions associated with irrigation.
Mm-hmm.
It's Fish and Game, when they process a permit, they do not give incidental take for the operation of the ditch. Now, if you make a decision to build a ditch and a head gate, you assume it's going to be operated.
Mm-hmm.
Any other project mm-hmm. would have an incidental take permit associated with the normal maintenance and operation of that conveyance.
Hmm.
But they don't do that. That's why our managers are always in jeopardy.
One other thing on the conference that they brought up, and I'm sorry to belabor this, and we'll go into close right after this, the Mississippi River study that happened was kind of an interesting deal. It took 16 years to accomplish it, but it was very positive on the other side. I've got a brochure of your Miss Nielsen that I picked up, but it's something we need to take a look at. With that, we're going to go
through
in.
The chair.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, yes.
Yes, we have Mr. Smith online.
Thank you. Yep. Mr. Smith, we've been anxiously waiting for your arrival.
What time is this going to be?
This is 5
a.m. Please raise your hand online so we can see which participant you are. If you hit *9, it'll raise your hand for us to see.
Are you there yet, Mr. Smith?
Mr. Smith, if you're online, can you please hit *9 to raise your hand so we can identify which participant you are?
He's online. I just don't know what.
Which one?
What are those? What are the last four of those two numbers?
9882 4241.
So maybe the same cell number.
Yeah. Does it look like a cell number?
Yes.
Cell phone number, I should say.
Correct. I believe it may be the same cell. He's not aware of.
6813 is his, the ending for his cell. 6813. You see that?
Well, so it must be the same as the
four guests.
You want me to text him?
It may be the Samsung, I'm thinking, because he is definitely on that.
He should be able to raise his hand then.
He doesn't.
Can you hear me now?
There he is. Okay.
Good morning. Good morning. We're at item 5A, and Supervisor Hout has a question. Are you ready for it?
Well, sir, knowing you guys, probably not. But I'll do my best.
All right. We're going there. Supervisor Hout.
When I read the agreement, I noticed the attention to private land noxious weed treatments. What I'm interested in is is the Forest Service still blocking county road right-of-way treatments when it crosses national forest land?
The answer to that in most cases is no, except for places that have a tribal interest, such as Highway 96, which is off limits for both Caltrans and the road department and us, of course. So they haven't been limiting that to any great degree that I'm aware of at this point.
Thank you. That's wonderful news. The other question I had was, instead of agreements, is there a possibility in the future we could use the stewardship agreement to avoid the overhead costs?
I'd have to review that to answer that correctly.
I'm putting a bug in your ear.
Okay, I got the bug.
Okay.
Would you repeat that one more time?
I'd like to see if it's feasible to use the stewardship agreement for this, since okay. they're paying us for a service. And that way we can avoid the overhead cost and put more money on the ground.
Okay. We'll look at that. This is kind of a specific noxious weed control grant to protect the woodley phlox that grows in Siskiyou County on those specific locations. But I'll look into the stewardship agreement for the other KNF grants that we also work on.
Thank you.
Okay, with that, is there a motion to approve? I'll second.
All righty.
I'm not hearing you, sir.
It's all right. We're on. We're going to the vote.
Supervisor Howell.
Okay, I can hear that now.
All right.
Valenzuela?
Sure.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Oakley?
Aye.
And Supervisor Kopsev?
Aye. Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
With that, we're going to go into closed session.